Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, we have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow before I take off for the woods of Howard County to hopefully not get skunked 3 years in a row. I've never had even 2 years in a row where I was skunked in Fayette and Harrisburg, but I'm on a streak that I'm not real happy about. I need to fill the freezer here this weekend, but we'll have a Reardon Roundtable. Jane will be on the panel. I had a great lunch with Jane today. She introduced me and Ed Rohde, who also is a Roundtable guy, used to work in the Slay administration. Ed is a real sharp media guy. He's a common sense Democrat. I think he's kind of a Republican these days, but they introduced me to State Senator Brian Williams, who's running for St. Louis County Executive. He's a very sharp guy. He is likely to be the next county executive. He's a guy who actually wants to get things done. We might talk about that a little bit on the roundtable, but former State Senator Jeff Smith will be here, and fire thrower Greg Keller. Man, Smith and Keller on the panel at the same time. That is always red-hot radio. I promise you that. Paul Hall in the 4 o'clock hour will go over some streaming and some movie releases, and Cusimano as we take you into the weekend with sports. Lots of media stuff. I was going over some of this BBC. You got the Australian media that is on you know, Trump's radar right now. And then you have all this stuff in the aftermath of the shutdown where Democrats, including Jasmine Crockett, one of her own from here in St. Louis, continue to say stupid things. Curtis Houck is back with us, managing editor of Newsbusters at the Media Research Center. Never a dull moment. Curtis, how are you this afternoon?
Good to be with you, my friend. As always, yes, never a dull moment. Some days you just wake up and you have no idea what's going to happen. And, although some things like Jasmine Crockett being on TV, that's a given.
Can I set this one up here? Okay, so I got to give credit to CNN. She's on CNN. I'm not, and let me just state this, Curtis. I have not done a whole lot with the Epstein files one way or the other, all right? So then yesterday I see there's this Epstein files thing and the Democrats are trying to make, you know, hay of this. Well, there was about 23,000 pages of documents from Epstein that were released by Republicans, but the Democrats put out a smaller batch and they redacted a name of Virginia Giuffre, who is, you know, one of the, one of the relations to Jeffrey Epstein. So what happened was, I'll just play it because AOC goes on, not AOC, Jasmine Crockett goes on CNN and tries to talk about this, and she kind of steps on herself here.
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, it's redacted who the victim is, so I won't necessarily take the Republicans' word on who it is that's redacted. And I don't know why they would necessarily redact someone's name who is deceased at this point.
The Democrats did that, though. The Democrats redacted.
No. I understand. Okay, but I'm just saying, like, our biggest concern is to actually make sure that we are protecting victims.
Yeah, she doesn't know what she's talking about, because what Pamela Brown was trying to point out is that the Democrats, when they released their emails, they're the ones that redacted the name. It had nothing to do with Republicans.
Right. Well, then the tape then goes on to say that, well, she admits that, like, well, this victim who died by suicide and wrote a book, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, we're not going to say who it is. It could have been anybody. But, you know, there's these, you know, very defined characteristics about who this person was.
Right.
Oh, man. I mean, it's pretty comical stuff. And, of course, you know, this is supposed to be the future of the Democrat Party. And, you know, people are telling her she should run for Senate next cycle against Ted Cruz, which, I mean, my goodness.
That would be, for guys like us, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? It really would.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it would be entertaining.
She'd be a black Amy McGrath. She'd raise a ton of money and lose.
Think about the cycle, though.
A ton of money on fire.
Think about the gift that it would be. You know, I barely have to do show prep these days. If we have AOC running in New York and Jasmine Crockett in Texas, that's a pretty good exacta right there, Curtis Houck.
Yeah, I was going to say that would be an absolute winner to see the media try and like dress these people up as like serious policy oriented whippersnappers. I mean, come on.
That would be very entertaining. All right, let me ask you. I got into this a little earlier. Have you dug into this whole BBC nonsense that's gone? I mean, it is amazing. It's very, very on par with what happened at NPR. The difference is that they had two big executives that had to resign over the weekend because all this bias was being exposed.
Yeah, a couple of things. Point number one, one of the people forced to walk the plank, the CEO of BBC News, Deborah Turnus, she was previously at NBC News here in the United States. So...
I did not know that.
One less Trump errors. So there you go. You know, the second point is a reminder here. It's actually worse than like PBS and NPR. You actually have to pay like a line item in your taxes in the UK for the BBC. So it's like, it's not like a situation where, you know, we were able to claw back the money appropriated for these organizations, these state run media outlets in the UK. It's there. It's a thing that happens, you know. So, and the president, obviously, you know, considering suing, do I file suit? You know, they apologize, but not really. The president may just do it anyway. He should. This is an example, Mark, where actually UK's, like, pretty terrible free speech laws would actually come into the president's favor because by this metric, you know, the free speech laws that put people in jail for social media posts, the bar for meeting defamation would be lower.
Right. Than the United States. That's interesting. That is interesting.
Which is hilarious. And of course, but on the merits though, Mark, this one is so egregious. You know how this works in television and in the written word and radio. You do ellipses, you do a flash, you kind of denote, you state it out loud. But this time they spliced together, you know, two sets of remarks from January 6th that were nearly an hour apart. And they made it look in the visual, made it seem like and blended it as if it was a coherent thought. You know, I mean, how they thought that they were going to get away with this is beyond me. And the BBC to say, oh, we had contractors this or that. I mean, come on. It was a documentary.
I have good perspective on this. You know, as I talked about this earlier, look, I was in, before I became a talk show host, I was a news guy, right? I went to Mizzou in the journalism school. I was a news director. I wrote a lot of news copy. I pulled a lot of sound bites. I'm so old, Curtis Houck, that I used to do it on reel-to-reel tape, okay? And I was pretty good at it, by the way, splicing and dicing. But you don't take, obviously, if you're doing a newscast, you have to shorten up the audio that you get from an interview subject or from a news conference. But what you don't do is you don't take out the middle and change the context of the soundbite. That is journalistic malpractice,
right?
And that's something that you just can't do. Can you tighten up a soundbite? Can you, and look, newspaper people, I'm sure you've seen this too. One of my favorite things is when you get interviewed by a print reporter. And I don't know how often you've had this experience, but print reporters never actually quote you accurately. They oftentimes clean up your quotes and make you sound better, okay? But it's, and I, you know, it's just something that they do. But my point is that if you put a quote in or if you have a soundbite that changes the complete context, and to your point was an hour, you know, later, that's just being deceptive. And they were caught red-handed. And this, by the way, goes hand in hand with a lot of other things. And this guy that was looking into what was going at the BBC, they produced, for example, a surprisingly high number of stories about drag queens, celebrated a male wrestler who competed in the women's category, published an article headlined Transgender Women Guilty of Rape After Night Out. All these things, well, at the same time, the Tavistock Clinic and all this gender-affirming care nonsense is being exposed. And they don't want to cover that at all.
Well, in the Gaza coverage, you know, there's also that as well. I mean, they've had to frequently apologize. And I believe in one of the more recent instances, they quoted some, you know, child about, oh, my gosh, my life is so terrible. But they were somehow connected to Hamas or something
right.
like
yeah.
that. There was some level of transparency and disclosure that they didn't, you know, carry out there. I mean, it is pathetic. I mean, the press secretary, Caroline Levitt, had a really good soundbite that I tweeted out yesterday, just talking about how disgraceful the BBC is. And it's sad. You know, the GBTV, GB News person there representing the new media seat said, oh, people in the Labour Party in the UK are saying this is a beacon around the world. And it's obviously not. It's a partisan rag. Unfortunately, you know, those that have traveled in Europe know that when you turn on hotel TV in a non-English speaking country, chances are the BBC News is maybe the only channel that's in English. So,
well, and you know what?
People take it in.
I was in Greece in April, Curtis, and let me tell you, to your point, and we probably talked about it at the time when I got back, but I watched some of the coverage over there, and this is when, you know, the tariffs were kicking off, everyone was criticizing Trump, and the one-sided nature of what I saw over there was in no way, shape, or form representative of reality in this country. And that's kind of what the BBC has become known for. But this is maybe one of my favorite parts of the BBC story, which I think is being a little undercovered here just because, you know, most Americans probably don't care about the BBC. They have someone that was their first disinformation reporter. Her name is Mariana Spring. And she had to apologize because last year, 2 years ago, I think, she was caught lying on her resume. Well, she's still employed at the BBC as its social media investigations senior correspondent. So the disinformation expert who lied on her resume is still there at the BBC. That sounds just about right, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it helps because you have people like Brian Stelter go on the PBS NewsHour the other day and basically say that the real story in this is the fact that conservatives notice and that we're pouncing on this and that we're complaining about this when, you know, I mean, this just kind of happens. It's like an honest mistake and like it wasn't like malicious or anything. You know, again, these are just excuses, you know. I mean, it's so pathetic that they have this kind of, you know, wall put up. They're not really willing to build walls elsewhere, but, you know, when it comes to their own, they're more than willing to bend over backwards to defend their own. We talk about this all the time, you and I. They demand the utmost transparency of us, we the people, and the people that they cover. But when it comes to, you know, we the people demanding transparency of them, how did they achieve? How did they arrive at their facts? What are their conclusions? What questions did they ask of their subjects? You know, they can't really give that to us. You know, that's how CBS got in trouble with its Kamala Harris interview.
Absolutely.
Because they weren't willing to engage in full transparency. And, you know, these things are so easy. And that's the thing that's really annoying about all this, Mark. This should not be a left or right issue because deceptive editing is just bad journalism. It hurts the product as a whole. It is maybe the original form of disinformation along with just making stuff up. Because it is, again, it's so damaging to the brand. How can they expect to regain trust in the press if they're engaging in these little quibbles that just seem so amateurish, but we know, based on their hearts and their coverage otherwise, is intentional?
Well, and it's funny because I have a former journalism professor that was, you know, at Mizzou many years ago when I was there, and I had kept in touch with him just a little bit. But some of the things that he's writing about, that they're teaching people in journalism schools in modern day, it's really stunning. And I think we know this, and you know this firsthand because you highlight it all the time. But look, we're well beyond the let's be fair in journalism days. This is about an agenda. And these kids and even these professors, they're proud of this now. They really are. They think that this is their job, not telling the truth, not explaining context, but by, you know, carrying on left-wing agendas, they're proud of it. They wear it as a badge of honor. And I am stunned by that. I really am. So one example is he put a piece on a few weeks ago. This is my former professor. It says, as federal law enforcement and ICE enter more and more American cities, how should we be covering this action? One way is to let residents know where the feds are operating. So basically, he's advocating for these apps that are identifying where ICE is and what they're doing. Now, you can do that if you want to, but are you still going to show the other side of the story with the damage that illegal migrants have done in this country and the resources they've taken away from American people? That's the problem. There's never a balancing that occurs.
No, there's never two sides to the equation because they believe in their heart of hearts that one side is wrong and it is evil. These people that are getting into journalism get in there to settle scores or shape narratives. It's not to tell you the who, what, where, when, why, and how. It's beyond me that we're at this point where you want to get into this to be propagandist. And it's settling scores, as in just kind of letting the chips fall where they may and letting the people decide. It's all about telling people this is what you need to think or you must think and how you must vote, because otherwise, you know, it's somehow this battle between good versus evil. And that's also how we end up with theater kids in Congress and so on and so forth, and you get judges nowadays quoting Hamilton instead of the actual law. They're part and parcel.
Yeah. Let me wrap with this, and we don't have to keep this long, but I keep asking guests about this because I don't enjoy going down the rabbit hole, but I'll ask you this question because I see it on your timeline. What in the hell is going on with Tucker Carlson?
It is dangerous and it is wrong. Tucker and his followers, and there's many, many other people that I won't mention, but leave it up to your people's imaginations. Need to go read some books.
He's getting into really crazy, even crazier territory, right?
One book I'll recommend, I started reading, Why the Jews by Dennis Prager. And he is another co-author. I forget his name at this moment, but it was completely revised after October 7th. I just started reading it last night. It's masterful, talking about anti-Semitism. And we're at a point where he's saying today Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a bad guy. He's not a Christian because he wanted to kill Hitler. Like, what world are we in? Go check out Eric Metaxas, you know, wrote maybe the defining biography of him. It is dangerous what is going on, and we cannot allow this. One of my colleagues said to me the other day, you know, people hit the retort from that crowd is you're engaging in gatekeeping. Well, the left didn't have gatekeeping, and that's why we have 47 genders running around right now.
Well, and the thing that makes me, Tucker is Tucker, and he's always been Tucker, but the thing I think that makes me even more uncomfortable, and for those people who don't know what's going on, there's a lot with Tucker and Nick Fuentes, who is a rabid anti-Semite and just a disgusting person, but even Megyn Kelly kind of weighs in and seems to defend Tucker just a little bit, and that was confusing to me.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
It's very disappointing.
I mean, there's crazy stuff going on out there. There really is, but thanks for highlighting it all at Newsbusters. Curtis, have a great week.
Yeah, you too, man.
All right, we'll
see.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
All right, let me go over this Tucker Carlson stuff just a little bit. And, you know, I've been watching this from afar, really, really confused. I like Megyn Kelly quite a bit. I used to like Tucker. I don't know what lane he is in or going down. And he seems to be very dishonest these days. So John Sexton wrote about this on hotair.com. Tucker had a new video that came out yesterday, and he ripped most of it was ripping on Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro. Now, in fairness, the attacks have been going both ways, right? So this was a response to attacks by Levin and Shapiro, and I mentioned Nick Fuentes. So I don't like to go into the Nick Fuentes territory very much because I think he's a disgusting human being. And it seemed like Tucker Carlson, mainly because it was, that he was someone who was ideologically kind of laundering the views of Nick Fuentes, as John Sexton put it. So Nick Fuentes, it's one thing to interview someone and to give them a platform and a format. But what Tucker did was beyond that, because he didn't challenge him on some of the things that he said in the past. So there's a fight going on, and it's not really the start of a fight. But one of the things Tucker said is he accuses Ben Shapiro of defending Nicolas Maduro. Oh, I'm sorry, I reversed that. He says that Shapiro falsely accused him of defending Nicolas Maduro, who is the communist leader of Venezuela. But after denying this, he goes on to defend Nicolas Maduro. Not completely, but he's defending him enough that he can use Maduro to attack Shapiro as not being a real conservative. And that's part of what Tucker's saying about Ben these days. He says, Ben Shapiro spent, I don't know, a decade posing as someone who actually cared about your concerns as an American. He did it imperfectly, I'm sorry. There were flashes that he didn't really care, but he's like, no, I'm a conservative. I'm just not interested in the fortunes of one tiny country in the Middle East with a population of 9 million. No, I have a lot of interest. I really care about this country, and I'm against the trans movement or whatever. Obviously, he's mocking Ben Shapiro. But he also said this, whatever his many faults, I wouldn't hire him as an economist, okay, but whatever his many faults are, he's talking about Nicolas Maduro here, not Ben Shapiro, he has the most socially conservative country probably in the hemisphere. So Tucker says Venezuela, it's just a fact, I mean, I didn't make this up, I'm not in charge of Venezuela, just noticing that Venezuela has banned pornography, banned abortion, banned gay marriage, banned sex changes, and banned usury. You don't have credit cards with 40% interest in Venezuela. So as John wrote in Hot Air, what does this have to do with Ben Shapiro? Well, we go back to Megyn Kelly. Megyn suggested during her interview with Ben Shapiro that Carlson was merely saying Maduro had a lot of socially conservative policies, to which Shapiro told Megyn Kelly, who gives a blank? The guy's a communist dictator. I'm going to raise my hand and say I'm in the Ben Shapiro category here. Everyone in his country is eating dog. He's shipping fentanyl to the United States to kill Americans. Why would I give a blank whether he's anti-LGBTQ rights and all this other stuff? So Carlson says, I don't have all the audio because I don't have the energy to go through all this stuff. Who gives a blank? I do. And he says, as a pro-life conservative, it matters to him. So he goes on in his podcast, he goes, why wouldn't I care about that? I've got kids. I, first of all, I'm against abortion. Tucker says, Sorry, unpopular. I feel that way. I think it's really sad. I would personally become poorer to end abortion. That's what Tucker said. Voluntarily become poor to end abortion in the United States. By the way, it's really easy for a guy who's got gazillions of dollars to say that, right? He says, that's not a choice. Don't want to become poor, but I would because I care about it. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're offended that I do, but I care about it. Lots of people care about it. But as John points out in hotair.com, his argument seems to be, yeah, you know, Maduro is a communist dictator, but Venezuela is anti-abortion. So that should count in his favor, right? And more than that, that Ben Shapiro's failure to care about Venezuela being anti-abortion proves that Ben Shapiro isn't really a conservative. It's crazy. But that's what Tucker's basically saying. But what he doesn't tell you, and this is where he's being dishonest, is that Venezuela has been anti-abortion for about 100 years. It was 1926, long before Maduro and long before his communist predecessor, Hugo Chavez, came on the scene. Chavez took power in 99. The abortion law dates back to 1926. So in other words, Tucker's being dishonest. Pro-life laws have nothing to do with Maduro. They aren't in place because he put them there. They were in place before the dude was even born. So why doesn't Tucker say that? Is he being dishonest? Is he ignorant?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Big Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. Jane will be on the panel. We're going to talk about a bunch of things that happened this week in the news, including the government reopening. Also, former State Senator Jeff Smith and Greg Keller, who always brings the fire on panel. Yeah, there's never a dull moment with those two in particular. I think having Smith and Keller together is the only time we kind of reduce the amount of time that Jane talks, because they talk so much.
True.
So, you know, I'm always looking for different types of topics. We don't only do politics. And there was something that caught my attention on Real Clear Politics. You know, they have a section called Real Clear Investigations. And the headline of the story that I read a couple of days ago is Americans are increasingly alone, but are they really lonely? And Christopher Ferguson, who is the author, who's going to join us here in just a second, and I'll welcome him in, but I want to read the beginning part of the piece, because he reminded me that in 2023, then U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy released a report that was called Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation. I don't remember if I heard about this or we talked about it at the time. And it painted a bleak picture of people in this country feeling isolated, invisible, and insignificant. And it also stated that half of Americans may face a personal crisis of aloneness that poses health risks similar to that causing by smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day.
Dang.
I know, that's pretty significant. But we've had time to look at that report and to talk about it, maybe come at it from a different perspective. Christopher Ferguson, who's a psychology professor at Stetson University in Florida, is with us. Professor Ferguson, how are you? Thank you for allowing me to do a long intro there. I appreciate it.
I'm doing great. It's great to talk to you tonight.
So this was interesting to me, because you kind of draw the distinction between, you know, loneliness and aloneness, and there's differences there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what we're seeing, you know, in the data seems to be that we're spending a little bit more time alone than we had 20 years ago. And the numbers really add up to something about like 1.7% less time with other people. So that seems to be a real change, but as you can kind of tell, that's a very small, you know, real change in time spent with other individuals. But that has been kind of conflated with this idea that, you know, this is the same thing as loneliness.
Yeah.
You know? And it turns out that, you know, sometimes being around other people, you know, kind of sucks.
I'm with you. Hey, you're talking to a guy who's
preaching to the choir.
Oh, yeah,
right,
you're preaching to the choir for sure on that. We get it.
Yeah, you know, like one example, of course, is a lot more people working more remotely now. You know, and I'm actually one of those people. You know, I teach my classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays and work from home the rest of the week. That's great. I have no problems with this, you know, whatsoever. But that would count towards this idea that I'm spending less time, you know, with other people in real life. But so I think that's the trick with a lot of these conversations, is people are talking about loneliness, and if you watch, they'll start shifting to, you know, the evidence is really that we're spending time more alone, which is different from loneliness. And so I'm a little bit concerned that those are getting confused.
But also, and let's kind of put this into perspective, when we spend time alone, I'll be alone in a deer stand in Howard County, Missouri, looking at small helpless animals with a rifle this weekend. But a lot of the things that we do that we're alone, we like doing it. Like we have iPhones now.
Right.
We didn't used to have that. We have technology that we didn't used to have. So some of that is just kind of natural, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And a lot of that doesn't really count towards time spent with others. So the example I use, I'm a big geek. So I play Dungeons & Dragons, and, you know, sometimes I play with, you know, my friends online, you know, that I've known for years and years and years, you know. And, you know, so the question becomes is, yeah, I'm spending time, not physically with other people, but I am actually, entertaining myself. We're entertaining each other, you know, as online community. Does that count, you know, as, you know, time spent alone, or doesn't it? You know, and that's, I think a lot of these kinds of, there are these changes in society that I think are making it kind of confusing to track things over time. And I'm not sure that there's clear evidence that these are problems that we need to worry about.
But this is really what caught my attention, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, because you wrote about this. You said, you know, because that Surgeon General report was criticized, and now it's been looked at a lot more carefully. But one of the things that you write is that this might reflect a larger pattern whereby science is invoked to make larger arguments about American culture. And the, you know, the example is claims that systemic racism is a public health crisis, or that technologies like cell phones are increasing rates of depression, anxiety, or mental health issues among teens. These assertions take kernels of truth, racism exists, mental health problems were on the rise until the last few years, and then attach them to causes to add scientific credibility, right? And so that would be, and that happens, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen like a number of these different types of, you know, crises or whatever we want to call them, that, you know, politicians will make a big deal out of these, and then they'll find some scholars that, you know, I think in good faith, you know, will support that perception of there being a crisis. And then, you know, 10, 15 years later, we kind of look back on it and think, like, well, that really wasn't that big of a deal. You know, it turns out it wasn't, you know, as big of a crisis as we made it out to be. And then the problem is we don't really learn from that very well. We just simply move on to the next crisis. And, you know, in some cases, you can kind of see the same scholars, you know, keep reappearing, you know, time and time again, kind of like backing up some of these crises. And I think sometimes we have to remember that, you know, fear itself is kind of a commodity, right? I mean, we can, you know, make money by, you know, frightening people and then selling books or speaking engagements or, you know, or things like that. Politicians benefit from it by looking like they're doing something when they're not, you know, so on and so forth. And so I think we have to be a little bit careful that, you know, sometimes something can be, you know, maybe it's a minor problem, you know, but we have this kind of tendency to dial everything up to 11, you know what I mean? And everything's an immediate crisis. And oftentimes that's not really true.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely the case. So I have to ask you this before I let you go, just because, and I don't know much about you, but in the bio at the end of the piece that I read on Real Clear, it said that you're the author of a book called Catastrophe, The Psychology of Why Good People Make Bad Situations Worse. Tell me about that book. That just, the title intrigues me.
Yeah. So it's pretty much what it says on the tin to some extent, you know, really looking at, you know, the types of both, you know, emotional and cognitive biases that make us do the wrong thing, you know, that make us make bad choices. And it really covers everything. I think, you know, the examples that we kind of go through in the book are things of, like, you know, why sometimes pilots have crashed perfectly good planes, you know, why human beings sometimes run back into burning buildings, you know, what kinds of emotional biases make us make some really bad decisions. You know, we do go through things like, you know, these sort of, you know, racism, moral panic of 2020 and things like that. So it really is looking at trying to figure out, like, you know, sometimes people are making decisions in good faith, but they're clearly the wrong decision.
Yeah.
And we can actually stop and look back. We know it was the wrong decision, and maybe we could learn from that and make better decisions in the future.
I seem to remember a period between, I'd say, March of 2020 until late into 2021 where some of these things might come to mind. I don't know. What could that be, right?
Yeah, it comes up in the book. Yep.
All right, Christopher Ferguson, awesome. Thanks for coming on tonight. I really appreciate it.
It was a lot of fun. I
appreciate
you
having me on.
All right, take care.
So, you know, we have Paul Hall that joins us on Friday. So he'll do that tomorrow in the 4 o'clock hour right after Sue's
nice.
News. Are you watching anything right now at all?
I've been watching shorter things on YouTube. So I just watched something where they went through Rick Springfield's refrigerator in his gym. And then
I like that.
And I watched the same thing for Gene Simmons. They're the same age and, oh, it's different.
But this is a YouTube show?
Yeah, and I found it on YouTube. It's something for men's health, and it's...
Look at
kind
you.
Of entertaining.
You're like a 20-something going to the YouTube shorts.
I kind of like the YouTube.
Aren't you?
It's not a short. It's just, you know, a
just
video.
On YouTube, yeah. There's been a few things. I talked about Death by Lightning. I think that's what it's called. This is the James Garfield thing on Netflix. I watched the Gacy episodic series on Peacock, and I thought that was very good. There's a new Eddie Murphy documentary that Netflix released yesterday that maybe Paul has seen. We're getting to the point. I am going to see... On Tuesday night, I'm going to see the new Wicked movie with my daughter. She is very excited. I love the first one. I really did. I'm a fan of the stage show. I can't remember what you thought of the movie.
I did not see it.
Oh, you didn't see it?
No.
They really did. They did a pretty good job with it. The problem is it's so damn long, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
The first one is 2.5 hours. I think this one's 2.5 hours. So if you want to watch back to back. But what I said at the time, I missed, this is deer hunting weekend, and last year... Same thing happened. My daughter was with me. She's going to be out of town this weekend, coming back Monday. But I bring it up because she had to ditch out early on Sunday. I had to get her back, and I ended up letting mom go to the screening. So I didn't watch it, and, you know, I'm a spoiled media person, so
yes.
I had access to it in my home on my big 85-inch television. And I wanted to see it on the big screen in the theater, but we sat down to watch it. And I sat on my couch for 2.5 hours. I didn't look at my phone. I didn't get up or anything.
Oh,
that's
wow.
The mark of a pretty good movie.
Yeah, it is.
I think. Now, if you're not a fan of musicals and it's not your thing, don't yell at me because you didn't like the movie, because that's just not your thing.
That's
okay?
Right.
But if you are, they executed it pretty well.
Well, that's like when we talked about how great the movie Uncle Buck was and somebody reached out and said, I thought that was terrible. I'm like, what?
Well, first of all, that person is just wrong. I mean, there's things that you can debate, and then there's facts.
Thank
and that
you.
Is something that's not debatable. Thank you. Yeah.
Stand by. Playback ready. initiating sequence.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, this one's going to be a little longer because there's a few interview clips, but I want to lead into it by saying that Senator John Fetterman had to be hospitalized in Pittsburgh today. He was on an early morning walk in Braddock, Pennsylvania. And the reason I bring him up is because he is going to be the focus of audio cut of the day. They say in a statement that it was established that he had a ventricular fibrillation flare-up that led to him feeling lightheaded, falling to the ground, and hitting his face with minor injuries. His comment was, and this is so John Fetterman-like, right? If you thought my face looked bad before, wait until you see it now. But one of the things that's making news is Senator Fetterman, not only does he have a new book out, and that's why he's doing interviews, and I highly recommend if you go to my Twitter, my ex, at Mark Reardon KFTK, or just Google Fetterman and the FP, there is an excerpt from his book that's in the free press. It was there on Monday. It's incredible. He talks about his depression, his anxiety. Really, it's a must read. I want to read the book. After reading what I read on Monday, I want to read the book for sure. But he sits down with Katie Couric. Katie Couric thinks she's so smart. Now, she's doing a podcast out there, and this is what happens.
Did you have any issues now in hindsight over some of the things that Charlie Kirk said and some of the rhetoric he used during his life?
I didn't agree with much of it. I didn't closely follow his specific kinds of views, but I did.
I'm sure you learned about them after his death, though.
We have to turn the temperature down. Extreme rhetoric makes it easier for extreme reactions or to justify them.
I think some people might say Charlie Kirk's rhetoric was extreme.
You have the right to say these things, and you definitely also have the right not to get shot.
Okay, let me say something here real quick. I cannot believe, and there are things that embarrass me in my life. I'm so embarrassed that I ever thought that Katie Couric was a good host or a journalist. She makes me throw up in my mouth, and you could just hear it in the way. So what she does here, and this is why I'm taking a little extra time, she tries so hard to get him to label Trump a Nazi or a fascist.
We both survived a near-death experience, and it really changed me. And I was wondering, hey, did that change your life? Because you had probably the most profound political turnaround that I can ever recall. And that bullet, it could have been just a little to the left, I guess to the right. And can you imagine the place our nation would have been?
So Couric doesn't like the fact that Fetterman, or really all these lefties, they don't like the fact that people humanize Trump at all.
And
so,
that's all it is, Mark.
Well, right.
He's making him a human.
Yeah.
That's all he's doing.
But she doesn't want any of it.
I witnessed on the ground that he was making a connection with a lot of those workers, you know, steel workers and other people in the region. And I was like, why is he doing events in these Democratic areas with the steel workers? And I'm like, either he's crazy or they figured out something out. And clearly they figured out something. Maybe there's some accountability for on our side to figure out a way forward.
Maybe. I heard a male voice there. So that one might not have been from the Couric interview, but he's kind of doing the rounds right now because of the book. I'm trying to get him on the air because I really would like to talk to him, especially because, unfortunately, I have the relatability with the depression and that particular angle. But he's very, very forthright in his book based on what I read in that excerpt. And, you know, when you see, you know, there's a little guilt involved for folks like me because we were very confused by how anyone thought that he was fit to be a candidate for the United States Senate. And I would hope, I'd have to go back and listen. I don't think I mocked Senator Fetterman. I think it was more from, you know, an area of concern as to how this guy, you know, maybe we felt at that time that he was being pressured to do it by the party, but I think you learned that he wasn't, and he just had to get through a lot of things, you know, in his brain and in his body to right the ship. And I think the ship has been righted, but obviously he ends in the hospital today due to a fall. But fascinating. Well, obviously, he's one of the only guys, you know, Democrat senators, along with the ones that finally flipped over, like Durbin and the rest, that voted to keep the government open.
I think that's part of what he's saying. Once he survived, he thought, I'm just going to be truthful.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, he's made the point, and this is something that you would think Katie Couric would have some appreciation for. Selena Zito's on the show all the time. She has been for almost 10 years. A Pennsylvania coal area Democrat is not like AOC.
No.
Is not like Jasmine Crockett. Is not like Cori Bush. Right? He represents a different... He's not the same... That's not California. Pennsylvania is not California.
Boy,
right? It's a purple state. And we don't have very many purple states, which is why that's the state. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if whoever's going to run in 2028, they only campaign in Pennsylvania because it's all about Pennsylvania.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.